This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
That's right.
And who do we have with us today?
We have Ashley Flagle from NASA. We love NASA.
NASA good.
Yeah. You guys get to do all kinds of cool stuff.
And get paid for it, really.
And this time, it literally is cool because we're going to be talking about icing. And that's not what you find in a margarita.
Or on a cake.
On a cake. Yeah. Right. This is the stuff.
We cleared that up.
This is the stuff that gets on your wing of your airplane and makes you go, uh-oh.
Icing bad.
Yes, very bad on an airframe. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're planning on being silly today. Now, I've got information here. You guys started way back in 1944?
Yeah, well, actually, a little bit earlier than that. We actually started icing research in the 1920s, back when it was the NACA. We had pilots that were having issues flying their mail routes across country. So that's when icing actually originated out of Langley. And then in the 40s, it came up to NASA Glenn, working with the World War II aircraft and helping with their propellers and intake icing.
Well, you know, you figure that with all the time that has passed between then and now, that we'd know everything there is to know about icing.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is obviously wrong.
No, it's amazing. I mean, even today we're finding new areas of icing threat as we're changing aircraft design, changing our airspace. Our airspace is constantly growing, so we're finding new areas of different icing. For example, I work on engine icing, ice crystal icing at high altitudes around strong convective thunderstorms that actually accrete ice inside the engine, so where it's warm.
That's right. You're talking about in between compressor blades.
Correct.
And stuff like that.
Yep.
Not the intake, but actually in the guts of the engine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've heard that's really nasty.
Yes. Yeah.
How the heck do you prevent that kind of icing? You have to heat the engine?
Well, actually, adding heat can actually cause more accretion to occur. So that's the big mystery that NASA and the international community were trying to solve, and also help regulators figure out how to best certify these engines. So we've been looking at, you know, now it's changing the design of the blades inside the engine, and also just flying in at different altitudes or changing the way the engines are being throttled. There's a whole plethora of things that we're trying to figure
right.
out to not have these issues.
Right. I want to know how you even identify it's happening and how you instrument the engine. That's a challenge right there.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is ice crystal icing at high altitudes, it picks up a low radar reflectivity. So you don't even realize that you're in these high altitude ice crystal regions. So one thing that we've been doing with the help of NASA Langley, Glenn Research Center, Armstrong, we've been looking at new radar processing algorithms that allow the pilots to detect when they're in these high altitude ice crystal regions. And so last year, about a year ago, to this date, we were running some flight campaigns and off of the coast of Fort Lauderdale, and then we went to the west coast based out of Armstrong and flew into what became Hurricane Lane to try to see if the radar could detect.
On purpose.
Yeah, on purpose.
Oh, good.
Well,
great idea.
A lot of fun, but we were able to show that you could find the ice crystal 60 nautical miles away. So this radar technology, hopefully, you know, with a little bit more tweaking and working with industry and regulators, we can start seeing this technology implemented, you know, within the next year or so.
Well, I can certainly see where engine icing could be a problem, because if you flame out in a commercial airliner, that is a huge problem.
Yes.
As you may not be able to get the engine restarted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hasn't they also had incidences where let's say they're descending to a warmer altitude, that ice actually does damage to the engine as it comes free?
It can. So we've learned that it can cause, so engine icing can cause power loss. So it's just so much ice, it's blocking, you know, the air to get into the engine. That one, if you just drop altitude, melt it out, it's fine. But then, yeah, you have to watch out. Sometimes you can have shedding events, which causes stability issues. You can have surge damage. So a lot of different things can happen.
Does the icing occur on the moving parts of the engine as well as the casing and stationary parts?
So we're trying to figure that out. There's been a lot of hypothesis that, sure, you can have some icing occur on moving parts, but so far it's very hard to get that instrumentation in an engine. And so what we can see is icing's occurring on, like, the outer wall, stationary regions, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to figure out how to get small enough cameras to be able to see the rotating parts.
And that can handle the G-forces.
Yes.
Well, that automatically rules out the GoPro anyway for the moving parts.
Sounds like an old Timex commercial. We're going to strap this camera to this jet turbine blade.
But, you know, I imagine that you can take the outer casing of the engine and you can modify that for stationary cameras. And that's probably something
that's
you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you get a gazillion GoPros all over the place and look for ice.
And actually, if you come over to our pavilion, I have videos running that shows the icing inside of an engine and what that actually looks like.
So. Wow.
That's got to be wild to be able to actually watch that.
Yes.
And what engines are you using?
So for the video that we're showing, we partnered with Honeywell. It was an old, unmodified ALF 502 engine. So it had known events in the 90s. And they had since fixed it, so that's why they allow us to, you know, show the video and say, this is what it looks like, because
they didn't show you the fixes, did they?
No.
Well, of course, that's proprietary.
Yeah.
But still, icing in an engine, I never thought of it. Never. I'm always thinking airframe icing, wings, mm-hmm. windshields, tail surfaces, that kind of stuff. But inside a jet engine, everybody figures, you know, it's got a compressor, it squeezes the air, it heats up, it won't ice. Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was really interesting the first time we ran that test in 2015. So this is a newer area of research. The first time we turned the ice cloud on and we're seeing the ice form, you know, they tell us, like, don't say any alarming words to the test operator.
Right.
Well, we all were kind of like screaming, like, oh my gosh, look at this.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And everybody outside the room, like, what? Is this becoming more prevalent with these super high efficient engines that they're building now?
That, I'm not really sure. You know, we only hear so much and what's reported, so it's really hard to gather is it becoming more or less? But we're hoping with some of the technology that we can give the pilots at their fingertips with the radars that we can maybe start impacting and seeing these events occur less.
Well, which part of the engine are you more concerned about? Are you worried about the fan up front, or are you talking about the actual compressor section?
So we're
actually
talking about the compressor section, the low pressure compressor, high pressure compressor. High pressure compressor can see more of the damage, so that's the threat to the...
Right. Got more blades tighter together.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you also developing tools that you can teach pilots to recognize this issue and do something about it?
Yeah, so NASA's been always, you know, from airframe icing, SLD research and whatnot, we've always have an eye towards helping train pilots, so we'll be hopefully one day delivering something, or we work with the FAA and then they help deliver tools to pilots as well.
Okay. Like, hey, when you see the cloud, don't fly through it.
Yes.
Well, the other thing too is you want to try to design the engine so that it will not ice up. That's the real key there.
Mm-hmm.
And because any kind of a system that you put in the engine to de-ice it is going to run stuff through very sensitive and expensive parts.
Yep. So NASA's working on developing computational tools that we can give to the designer so we can try and attack this issue early on in the process.
Right, before they've invested gazillions of dollars. Are you also involved in certification testing of engines?
I'm not involved, but we do help work with industry on how they can meet means of compliance. So they can come to NASA or Propulsion Systems Lab and test or how they've done in the past and currently are doing for the icing research tunnel. So we can help guide them, but we don't do the certification testing ourselves.
You know, develop the standards, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another thing that I just thought of here. Vibration. If you get an equal ice buildup on rotating parts, that can shake an engine to pieces, I would imagine.
Yes.
That would be
quickly.
Very bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, with that, it's not just going to go kaboom instantly. You're going to have a buildup over time, and you'll see an increase in vibration.
But
as
I think the issue is if they get a shedding event that generates a massive imbalance, that's when the fun starts. So that wouldn't be good.
And of course, you get to be front row seat when you're in the test cell watching all this stuff shake itself to pieces. And you get to look at it and go, wow, look at that.
So do you get to go on any of the test flights?
Unfortunately, I have not gone on any of the test flights.
Oh, come on.
But my colleague that's with me, he's been on all of our flight campaigns with the ice crystal icing.
Nice.
We heard the food service is pretty good on those flights.
Oh, really?
Right. There's no movie, though.
No movie, but...
I imagine you guys are busy. How long is this program expected to run? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows at this point. We try to chunk things out in 3-year programs. So we're hoping by the end of 3 years, we have a design tool that industry can use with the radar. We have about a year or so to develop a minimum operational performance, so a MOPS for the radar. And then we're just working on different areas of research for, our urban air mobility, trying to look at, that's where ice phobic coatings and understanding low ice adhesion comes in. And then we have our, just trying to look at what potential threats on new airframe technology can be, which you can check out in our pavilion, what we've been working on.
Very cool. Sounds wild.
Where would we go to find out more information?
Yeah, so definitely check out NASA.gov, and they have an aeronautics link, so you can find out all the different things that we're working on with icing, and then the new aircraft technology that we're trying to help prevent icing on, and then also our pavilion as well. So we have a whole icing booth there. You can check out ice shapes. Like I mentioned, you can check out the engine icing videos as well.
Definitely. Sounds like fun.
It does.
Wow.
And of course, afterwards, if you really need to get some icing on, you can go to Margaritaville.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, thank you, Miss Ashley Flagel, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.